Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read. As I read it, there's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. Not a lot of news since the last time I recorded a podcast, mainly because I haven't released the previous podcast yet, so no feedback to go over. I kind of took a month off podcasting and now I've just recorded three podcasts over 4 days or something like that, catching up on the books that I've read and reviewed. Here we go with today's podcast is about a book called Little Fuzzy. And Little Fuzzy was published in 1962 by H. Beam Piper. And H. Beam Piper, I don't really know very much about him. The only reason why I even know this book exists is because... I've kind of seen it around, but last year it came to more prominence when John Scalzi published his own version, his own take on it, what he calls it a reboot, called Fuzzy Nation. And so because of that came up, I thought, well, how come he does that? And it works out, of course, that it's in the public domain and anyone can do anything. And of course, because it's in the public domain, you can find it for free on online to read as an ebook on Project Gutenberg. I think there's a LibriVox audio version. I just got the ebook version or a text version or whatever it was and read it and kind of enjoyed it and kind of got annoyed by it as well. So let's just set it up. This book is set hundreds of years in the future, and there is there's a planet called Zarathustra, and there's a company called the Chartered Zarathustra Company, which is sort of like a holding company, which is looking after the planet and working out what natural resources they can take off it, and interstellar trade isn't very well developed, so it's mostly about luxury goods and goods which you can only get in a single place and hold their value over time. One of the main things that they found are things called sunstones, and they're like a diamond kind of thing. And the book starts with Jack Holloway. Actually, no, the book starts with them saying, "Oh, the weather systems are messed up. Maybe we're messing up the weather systems, and lots of these little critters, these little lobster kind of things are." Spreading around, and that's probably got something to do with the weather. And then we find out someone who is being a bit overrun by these little lobster things, and his name is Jack Holloway, and he is a sunstone miner, and he's out there and he's dropping dynamite into the hills and blowing them apart and gathering these sunstones, which I'm guessing kind of like precious stones, like diamonds, because he can hold them in a little bag around his neck or in a little purse. He turns up and he's doing his thing and it's quite fun, and then a fuzzy turns up of the title. The Little Fuzzy is a small like humanoid character with arms and legs and two eyes, a little rodent-y kind of thing, little primate kind of thing with fuzzy hair, like golden colored fuzzy hair. And immediately this fuzzy comes in and is domesticated. He kind of domesticates himself like a cat would do. It's sort of like, it's a relationship where the pet understands its position in life. It's like, yes, I'm a pet, but I have the best end of this because I'm just going to be fed and looked after and loved, and I can sit here in the warm by this fire and I'm totally happy with it and I'm totally cool about being this. And this is what the little fuzzy thing does. And Jack goes, oh, this little guy is pretty cool. And it starts using tools. It picks up his chisel and goes out and kills some food with it, and the little critter, the little lobster critter kind of things, and eats it, and then he disappears, and then he moves back in with his entire family. So his entire family domesticates themselves into Jack Holloway's, or Papa Jack, as he calls himself when referring to himself. He's like, hey, come to Papa Jack, and so they all come in there, and they're obviously very intelligent because they make things and use tools and all that kind of stuff. And then there's blah 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 blah, and what happens though is that you actually get to the Zarathustra Company. They have their charter for the planet is only a charter for an uninhabited planet, that there can't be any intelligent beings there or sentient beings that they've discovered on other planets, and if that happens then the Terran government has to take over, and they're not allowed to exploit it as a company-wide planet. Let me put it that way. The planet can't belong to a company. It has to be a governed planet, like a democratically governed planet, just for the sake of the intelligent species, the sentient species that are there. So what happens is the scientists turn up, and the company scientists, of course, are saying, hey, this little guy, this little fuzzy, and all the little fuzzies, they're not sentient, they're not intelligent. And all of the independent scientists and experts saying, well, obviously they are. And So one thing leads to another, and then there's a court battle, and they prepare either side. And what it comes down to really is, if these little fuzzies are sentient, it means that the Zarathustra company is no longer in charge, and the people take over. And if they aren't fuzzy, then they no. If they aren't fuzzy, if the fuzzies aren't sentient, then the Zarathustra company can stay in charge. And these little guys, the little fuzzies, are no longer classed as people. They're just classed as animals and can be do that kind of stuff. The big problem with this book that I had is that it was all a bit too easy. The Zarathustra Company people are totally inept. When they're preparing for the court battle, they're just sort of like these mustache twirling villains going, "Wah-ha-ha, well, what we will do is we will put a price on their heads, and we can say, yes, $1,000 for every little fuzzy pelt. They can be the new thing." So people start going out, and then they say, "Nope, you're not allowed to come." And it's really bad because all of the judges and all of the police are on the side of the fuzzies. They're on the side of Jack Holloway and on the good guy side. And then when the court battle begins, you're just like, well, where does it? The fuzzies are obviously intelligent. They're obviously sentient. There's nothing about them. And it's an interesting discussion when they say, well, can we come up with a definition of sentience which includes all previously known sentient species and races and all the different all the different planets that we visited so far, and yet somehow excludes the little fuzzies? And it's obviously, well, no, you can't, because they're obviously intelligent, and they obviously do this. Like, when one of them dies, they even hold a funeral for it. You know, they even know what death is. They understand all that kind of thing. And I just kept thinking, well, how can they possibly lose this court battle? And of course, I don't really mind giving spoilers away. This is a very old book, so, you know, it's like at the end of War of the Worlds, guess what? All of the Martians die. You know, it's that kind of thing. I mean, I didn't really know the end of it, but I was reading it thinking, well, how can these people possibly lose? They're going to bring out something like massive to show that actually the little fuzzies are, an escaped experiment from Earth, and they're not, you know, this previously unknown species that just turned up has actually been trained. They're circus animals, and they're not intelligent at all. They've just been trained all this time. You know, I mean, I was thinking, how could they possibly bring up anything? And then once the courtroom drama begins, immediately the people bring in more evidence to show that actually, you know, they're more intelligent than we thought, and they're actually talking all this time, and they're doing this and doing that, and they're using art, and they can write, and they can make fire and all. And so then the fuzzies are saved, and I was like, well, why did we need that deus ex machina of the people coming in and going, oh, and we've been doing all this research in private, and it turns out that the research shows that they're even more intelligent? And I was like, oh, totally, utterly unsatisfying. And then at the very end, again, I'm giving this away because, well, I don't care. What happens is that the fuzzies are saved, and then they say they're now free. They're little people, and they're free to. And I'm thinking, yeah, they're going to be free to live on their own and have an entire continent to themselves, and nobody's going to go over to that continent and disturb them. And they're going to develop their own society, and they're going to, you know, maybe there's going to be like an uplift kind of thing with a David Brin uplift kind of situation where we're going to teach them about fire, or we're going to teach them about literature, or teach them about writing, or something like that. And no, the whole novel ends with them saying they are now free to live as our pets, and they're going to come and live with us, and each family and on or each house on Zarathustra is going to have a family of fuzzies going to be living with them, and we're going to feed them, and we're going to look after them. And I thought that was a really, really disappointing end to the story, that we're going to call them people, and now we're just going to treat them as pets. Like, more, we're going to treat them more as pets than they ever would have been, even if we hadn't of discovered them in the first place. And not even normal pets, but, you know, it's sort of like little pets which are really cute, and the only factor about them that you really like is how cute they are and how lovable they are. And then the ending got even sillier when they start, like, when the Zarathustra company is being kicked off the planet, and they're like, oh, well, we need a new governor. So, okay, the new head of the colony is going to be, of course, the policeman, because, you know, he was on the other side, and he was friends of the judge and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we'll have him. And then we need a new head of police. Well, we'll get this guy in, because he was another policeman who was good. And we need a new head of science. Well, why not have this guy, who was our friend and you know, was on our side in the court. Well, and we need a new fuzzy liaison. Well, how about this guy, who's totally unqualified, but he's a friend of mine. And so all of the new positions are filled by all of the good characters in the story. And I was thinking, wait a second, I thought one of the main things that they were looking forward to when the Zarathustra company left was that it was no longer to be run by a corrupt company, but instead they, you know, it's run on pure cronyism and, you know, like, kick out the company. And in the end, of course, that was what the lawsuit was about. You know, the people on one side seemed to be fighting for the rights of the fuzzies and to call them people. And the other side, the Zarathustra Company, seemed to be fighting for their right to keep the planet, to keep their hold over the planet. But in the end, it seemed like both sides were just trying to, were just fighting over Zarathustra Company keeping hold of the planet or not, as the case may be, because they don't keep control, and it seems like nobody actually really cared about the fuzzies in the first place. All they cared about was kicking out the company and, you know, and not having to pay them back and not having to live under that kind of stuff. So all of these characters, all the good characters, get the positions, get the good titles, get the promotions, and all of the bad guys they're just left to say, it's like, well, okay, you were doing all this stuff from up to this point, you could have been doing a good job, but now, yep, everyone out. But of course, it's only the male characters who get the top jobs at the end, because there is this one character called Ruth. And Ruth is introduced as some kind of expert, some kind of scientist. She was dating one guy. And I understand immediately now, as soon as I started reading it, I understand why John Scalzi wanted to update this book for the modern world, because this is one of the most sexist books that I've read, but not sexist you can kind of understand sexism in a way when you read it in a book like from the, you know, the 1800s, the 19th century or something like that. But this is from the 1960s, and I'd have liked to think that there was a bit more. This is how they introduce Ruth. He goes, something about dating. I only copy this little part out. She should have known this would happen. It always did. A smart girl in the business never got involved with any one man. She always got herself four or five boyfriends and on all possible sides and played them off against one another. And I was like, wait a second, that's what all smart girls should always do? They should always get four or five different boyfriends? And when I was reading that, I was like, oh, okay. So then I think, well, maybe it's not too bad. She turns out that she isn't just she isn't just a government. And it turns out actually she's not. She was a spy, which means she was a liar. And you know, when she was just as, you know, when she was all that was on the company, the boyfriend didn't want to speak to her anymore. And it turns out she's a good girl, but she was a good girl because she was a liar and a spy, and it's a bit weird. And then you think, okay, well, maybe at the end, because she actually did a lot of the good research and she was actually on the good side at the end. And then at the end, she is promoted to... No, she's not even promoted. She loses her job because she was a spy and she testified in court. So that means she can no longer be a spy anymore. So she loses that job and she gets promoted to becoming Ben's wife. And that's it. And so her new job is being married to somebody. And it's like, yeah, that's your reward for being a good girl. That's good. Two other female characters, two other human female characters in the cast. There's the wife of the judge, who is totally shallow, and she just wants to use her connections with the judge to come in and play with a fuzzy in court, to see the fuzzy in court, or even own a fuzzy after they've been declared as people. Then she wants to own one or something like that. And the other female character, a human female character, is this young girl who I can't remember if she's named or not. But she is. She says that some fuzzies attacked her, and of course, this is being used to say, "Oh, the fuzzies attacked a human. Let's go out and round up and kill the fuzzies because they're attacking small children." And immediately, all of the main characters go, "No, she's lying. She has to be lying because we don't believe fuzzies are that kind of people. Fuzzies are cute and lovable, and there's absolutely no way that anything, you know, they could ever hurt even a small human." Even though they've got no scientific evidence to back this up, no even anecdotal evidence to back this up, every interaction that fuzzies have had so far was a full-grown human people. And it's the same with like a small dog and a big person. They obviously go, oh, okay, well, that's bigger than me. So, you know, and their eyes are higher up than me. I remember going in when I was in Zimbabwe, me and Juliana were there and went on this lion walk twice, actually. And they say, we can walk with these young lions, but you have to be the adult members of the pride and they have to be the young members of the pride. So don't get down to their level. Don't bring your eyes down to their level. Don't crouch down next to them. Always be higher up than them. It's, you know, it's a, you know, a, I would say, you know, like a mammalian thing, you know, hierarchy stuff, taller, bigger, like that kind of stuff, show more respect. It's the same kind of things with dogs and wolves. And without any even slight regard for this, we're saying, oh, this is the first time a small fuzzy has encountered a small human. They just go, nope, fuzzies are nice, fuzzies are easy. You know, they will never harm a child. They would never do anything like that. Of course, they would never do anything like that. So first of all, they just totally discard this little girl's story. Which it turns out it was true. She wasn't harmed by a fuzzy. The fuzzies do turn out to be perfectly, utterly harmless. And she was lying. She was told to lie. And the truth of the story was that her father was beating her. And everyone's like, oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. Her father was beating her. That's way, way better than being the first documented attack by a fuzzy. It's like everyone seemed to be really pleased that her father was beating her rather than, you know, and her having to lie about it, than fuzzies. You know, they were more concerned about the perfect image of fuzzies, which is, in a way, you know, admirable because they didn't want the fuzzies to be harmed for no reason. But then they kind of move on with the story, and I'm like, wait a second, is nobody going to take care of this little girl over here? You know, nobody seems to be concerned about her father beating her, and it's like, nope, move along with the story, don't worry about this. So that entire, I understand now the sexism of this book and the datiness. Of course, everyone is, you know, everyone's drinking constantly and smoking constantly, and the fuzzies are taught how to smoke. And of course, all the technology is sort of like, yes, and we have a tape reader, and we have this, and we have that, and we have this, and we have that. What do I want to talk about here? I got some notes on my iPhone, which I made a note of. The writing in this, not really good, not really that interesting. The writing is interesting, but like it's quite, you know, light and fluffy language. But there's a few of these things which sort of stood out. And I remember reading a review of this on the SFF Audio blog, and they talk about it tasted badly. And you're like, really? Did something taste badly? Does that mean it was tasting? Oh yeah, no, it was like the cigarettes tasted badly. And then dead bodies quickly putrefy and smell badly. Don't think anything smells badly in that way. What's another note here? Yeah, the bright new toys they had gotten for him. You know, quite fuzzies ought to happen oftener in court. Because they bring the fuzzies in and they start messing around. And I made a note there. Fuzzies ought to happen oftener in court. What else have I got here? Oh yeah, women should have 4 or 5 boyfriends. Yeah, a bit strange. Shouted warningly. How do you shout warningly? Yeah, so you got these little notes I made. Oh yeah, and the technology, I said, like, they've got these view screens that both receive and transmit, a bit like 1984. And I made a note here as well, there's a floating city, because they have these things which float and you're not quite sure, but I really like the image of a city which kind of floats, like all of the buildings, they're not like, they're secured to the ground, but they're not built into the ground, they're floating above it. So you can have an entire city which doesn't interrupt the forest and the, you know, the natural world below, and all of the buildings, you just get between the buildings with rope bridges and other bridges, I think, I'm not quite sure. But, you know, some of these technological ideas, which I thought would be really interesting in a normal book, are just skipped over because everything always comes back to the fuzzies and the court battle and the Zarathustra Company, that a lot of these other things are kind of missed out on. So, finally, in the last little section here about this book, I want to talk about, you know, the reboot. Of course, I've not read John Scholes' reboot, but the things that I wouldn't change. I've not read John Scholes' reboot. I might do it, but I might give it a read. But this is the kind of thing that I was thinking of when I was reading this book. But because John Scholes has already rewritten this public domain book, it kind of like freed up my mind as I was reading it to say, oh, I would change this and do this, you know, and it kind of gave me permission, or gave my brain permission to think about all the things that I would change about the book if I was going to write it myself or rewrite it myself. And I think one of the main points that I would change is to actually make it hard to convince somebody that the creature is sentient, and also make the reward for the proof of that the creatures are sentient, that the fuzz are sentient, not just cushy jobs for everyone and freedom from the company, but how about it that you'd prove that they're sentient and then everyone has to move off the planet? And they have to, all the good livelihoods that they had, they can't have that anymore. And then they have to spend years and years in space going to a different planet, or maybe they've got to live on a cramped space station, or even like everyone has to leave all of the continents and leave them for the fuzzies, for this newly discovered sentient race. And they all have to like live in these concentration camps, on small islands. That's the kind of thing that I would want to have to happen. So they're fighting to prove the sentience of the fuzzies, but the reward isn't, like I say, isn't all good stuff and isn't all, hey, we win, yay, fuzzies are sentient, let's all have them as pets, let's treat them like retarded children, and yay. How about the winning is sort of like a bittersweet victory? And one of the biggest things I think I would change about this book isn't just that kind, isn't just like the surface details, but actually change the fuzzies themselves. Now, the fuzzies are known to hunt these little lobster kind of critters. And so I was thinking, instead of having the fuzzies, which are described as the cutest things ever, and they are the cutest things ever, they're really nice, and it's really fun to read about the fuzzies, and they do this and they do that, and they build stuff out of paper, and they learn how to eat and speak, and they share stuff, and they're just the cutest animals ever. They've got these big eyes and nice little hands and sweet cheeks and all, they're just lovely. You can't help but love them. As soon as they turn up, they're like, oh, this is so cute, they're frothy, how can anyone ever be any do anything bad about it? And then when someone kills one of the fuzzies, it's like, oh, how could you dare kill one of these fuzzies? They're little people. Oh, I can't believe it. And everyone, like the entire town, the entire planet, is going, oh, the little fuzzies. Oh, look at the little fuzzies. I got a little fuzzy. I want a little fuzzy. And you're just thinking, well, how can anybody who is against the fuzzies be considered a good guy? They have to be, the villains have to be the bad guy here. What I would actually do is swap the animals. The fuzzies eat, like, kill and eat the lobsters. It's their one slightly aggressive thing that they have these little spears, these little sword kind of spiky things that they go and they kill a lobster with it, and then they eat the lobster. And you think, well, even the way that they do that is really cute. And the critters are like annoying pests, so it's really good that the really cute fuzzies eat the critters. What I would do in my reboot of this is I would swap them round, and I would make the critters into be the intelligent animals. And they use tools to trap and then kill and eat little fuzzy cute animals, which, make little cute noises and have little cute, like a little guinea pig hamster kind of thing. Not a rat, because rats aren't, it has to be like guinea pig, rabbit, hamster kind of cuteness of animal, which maybe are slightly like a little bit intelligent, but they're not sentient. They're not the fully intelligent ones. And it's actually the critters who go around and trap them and eat them. And the critters don't have big eyes and smiley faces and soft hands. And they don't have, any hands at all. They have these like pincers and these little mandible kind of things, and also I think it'd be really interesting if the critters were like real bastards, real fuckers, and they shit all over the place and they just wreck everybody's shit wherever they go. And if there's a small child, they really do want to attack and kill the small child, and they probably stink, like everything about them, like in my version of the story, everything about them is utterly repulsive. In other words, you don't name them like Little Fuzzy, or in the other ones in this book, the little fuzzies are called things like Goldilocks and Cinderella and Mike and Mitzi and all these kind of things. Just give them numbers, or like fucker with sharp claws number one, and like critter with nasty jaws and teeth number four. And make it so the entire town wants to hunt them down. Like, the little fuzzies are actually, they make them already the pets of the people who live there. And the critters, the scaly critters, are the ones that are kind of hunting down and in eating people's pets. And so, of course, the entire town, the entire planet is against them. And also make them delicious to eat, like a lobster. Like, people go, lobster, like, this is very good. Make the critters intelligent lobsters who are also delicious. But make them really intelligent, and they can still live in the family groups, and they can communicate somehow. Instead of being with like the squeaks that are meep meep meep, they can have like clicking of their shells and their pincers and stuff like that. They're instead of their language being like really really cute, meep 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 meep, they can be like and you know, it's really you can't even tell that they're talking or, among each other. But they can still, you know, live in groups and solve you know, puzzles. But the puzzles are always about like killing fuzzies or, you know, raping a member of the enemy family of critters. And they can still make art, you know, like the fuzzies, they make little sculptures and art and stuff, and the critters can do that too, but the art is always, you know, symbolic of the death of humans. And you can make them equal to the fuzzies in the original novel in every way, like in terms of intelligence and sentience, but then make them totally unlovable. And then when the company realizes that they've got to get rid of the creatures, these little critters, to keep their planet, you know, you can make them, you know, that make the company less cartoonishly inept and like make them capable of putting up a coherent defense in court. And, you know, once all of this is in place and then have the court battle, but don't introduce this incredible research that was done in secret off screen, you know, by, you know, like no character works it out and it's this big deus ex machina kind of thing. And also don't have a lie detector. This is another thing that they have in this book where there's a lie detector where it just goes, hey, are you lying? No, I'm not lying. I'm really not lying. But you know, you did. You lied. You really do think that the fuzzies are real. And of course, the truth is that the fuzzies are sentient. The truth is that the fuzzies are intelligent. Everyone thinks that. So you can't, they can't even, the company can't even lie about it. You know, everything was utterly stacked against them. So take away the lying machines, take away all that, make it actually really, really difficult. Because, like I say, the idea of defining sentience as something that humans and all other sentient creatures or sentient beings up until that point that have been discovered, what do all of they share that these little critters don't? And I think that would have been, you could still have all of the same discussion, but make the outcome of the discussion more like, but I mean, what if it was like, okay, we're going to declare that all the critters are sentient, against public opinion, everyone hates it, and now all the humans have to go off. And what we're doing is actually, you know, we're not going to uplift them now because, you know, that takes away the freedom. Or in the future, what's going to happen? In the future, if these guys get, you know, technology, they might become the mortal enemies of the human race, so we've got to keep them down on the planet. But is that kind of imprisonment? You know, is that going to impinge on their rights as sentient beings anyway? Kind of stuff. Who knows? Maybe all of this is included in John Scalzi's rewrite, but, and I say my rewrite or reboot would turn the story on its head, and the cute and fuzzy and lovable, you know, all of that kind of stuff is too easy to say. If it's too easy to be nice to cute and fuzzy and lovable, let's get uncute, unfuzzy, and unlovable, and then let's talk about sentience and if it should be saved. So that's my little review of this little fuzzy book. Again, I might get onto John Scalzi's book. I'm certainly not going to listen to the audiobook because I think it's a Will Wheaton audiobook, and I think I've got to I'd read the normal book, but probably won't get to it for a while. I've got lots of other books that I've got lined up here. Lots of ebooks that I've got to read and a few audiobooks as well that I still want to get through. So thanks a lot for... Oh no, I was going to give this book a rating. Let's call it 2.5 stars because there's quite a lot of enjoyment to having the stories. The fuzzies are cute and it is quite charming and it's quite... You know, it's quite... I didn't go into it, but it's actually quite fun. You know, the way that the characters are interacting, they're talking and stuff. There's a lot of fun stuff in this book, but it's super dated. You know, just in terms of the writing, the style of the writing and what the characters are doing and the way they're acting. And also, I think it's very dated in terms of the challenge that it sets to the reader. You know, there's no challenge. It's like, well, of course the fuzzies are good. And it turns out, yes, of course they are. You know, it just goes A, B, C. Well, it doesn't even go A, B, C. It goes A, B, the end. Whereas B is everyone wins. But up until that point, it's very stuff like, I want to, you know, let me put it this way. It turns out that the book seems to be, by all reactions of the humans involved, very, very much about, you know, Wild West workers overthrowing the company and installing themselves in power. And the fuzzies were just kind of a catalyst for that. There's some, you know, the tea in the harbour. That's all the fuzzies are in this book. And it's a pity because I wanted it to be more about the fuzzies, even though it's almost totally about the fuzzies. As soon as they're declared sentient, it just turns away and it's like, yeah, and they can be our pets. And you're like, really? Anyway. So yeah, 2.5 stars overall. That's it from me. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burge there. Better still, you can check out my goodreads.com page. I'm Luke Burge on goodreads.com. And if you're also on goodreads.com, or even if you're not, sign up for it and become my friend. And then I can see what you think about the books that I'm reading. For example, if I go across here to Goodreads, and I've got the little fuzzy page. Terp Kristen She gives it 3 stars. Tom Rowe, 4 stars. David Monroe, 4 stars. Jenny rated it 3 stars. Yeah, it's, you know, like 3 stars. Quite a few 3 stars. Oh, pretty much everyone's rated it over 3 stars. But yeah, it's good for me to see, you know, what you're wanting to read or what you are reading. And if you've already read and reviewed a book, and I read and review it, or if I read it, I can very easily now just check out here and find all your stuff really easy. That's really cool. So goodreads.com is a great website, and I use it all the time. So otherwise, you can check out my own website, lukeburridge.com. Check out my blog. Check out my original fiction on there as well. You might enjoy it. So really, no, that's it from me now. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.